want to talk to you about the power of praise. As you're turning there, let me read this to you. The boss of a big company needed to call one of his employees about an urgent problem. So he dialed the employee's home phone number and was greeted with a child's whisper, "Hello." The boss said, "Is your daddy home?" "Yes," whispered the small voice. "Well, can I talk to him?" To his surprise, the small voice whispered, "No." "Well, is your mama there?"
"Yes."
"Can I talk with her?"
"No."
"Is there anyone there besides you?" the boss asked. The child whispered,
"Yes, a policeman."
Wondering what a cop was doing at his employee's home, the boss asked, "Well, can I please speak with the police officer?" The child whispered,
"No, he's busy."
"Busy doing what?"
"Talking to daddy and mommy and the fireman."
Wow, he was getting really concerned when he heard what sounded like a helicopter through the phone. So the boss asked the child, "What's that noise?" The child said,
"It's a hello chopper."
"What is going on there?" the boss asked. The child responded,
"The search team just landed the hello chopper."
The boss was very, very concerned. He said, "Well, what in the world are they doing there?" And the boy whispered,
"They're looking for me."
Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's looking for you." You see, I want to read to you a verse out of John chapter 4 about something that God is looking for. And this is a very famous conversation. I'm not going to read the text, but just this single verse. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he says this, "But the time is coming, and indeed it's here right now." Somebody say now. "The time is coming, and indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." Can I have an amen for the reading of the word? The Bible says that God is on an all-out search. What is he looking for? He's looking for true worshipers, those who are authentic in their spirit and they pursue God. You know, when you and I worship God in spirit and in truth, we become exactly what God is looking for. How many of you want God to be dialed into where you are, where you live, and what's happening in your world? Out of 7 billion people on the planet, I promise you, God is paying attention, especially when we offer up worship to him. Now, I want to kind of unpack this thought about the power of our praise and maybe dispel some myths, because sometimes we have ideas about worship that aren't really true. Sometimes we think that worship is about what we just do here on a Sunday morning. How many of you know worship is much bigger than a church service? Worship is not the warm-up lap before the preacher preaches the message. Worship is not to just get you ready for the word. There's something supernatural that happens in the presence of God. Worship is the vehicle by which God will strengthen his people, by which God will bless his people and sustain them in even the most difficult times. And so if you're taking notes, and I hope you do that here at New Life, how many of you take some notes? We say at Healing Place Church that history makers are note takers. So I want you to jot down a few simple thoughts as it relates to the power of our praise and worship. And the first one is simply this. Number one, write down the word presence. Presence, presence. Worship is all about the presence of Jesus. You know, 15 years ago, I went to a conference down in Sydney, Australia. There's a little small church called Hillsong. I don't know if you've ever heard of that church. They know a little something about worship, do they not? And so we were there the very first night, and I'd never seen or experienced anything like this. Again, I'm just a little crazy Cajun boy from the swamps of Louisiana. And I find myself in Sydney, Australia, halfway around the world, at the opening night of this conference, and we're in this stadium with about 60,000 people, and the atmosphere was electric. I mean, it was just buzzing with life and activity. They showed a little pre-service video, and it was building in intensity, and so people were kind of getting in their seats because everything was getting ready to get started. And as soon as the video ended, everything went black. And one spotlight shined down on the stage, and there was this girl dressed in all white.
She looked like an angel. I mean, she just glowed. And she was singing, and she sang this song, Hallelujah. How many members that song? How many of you are thankful that I'm a preacher and not a worship leader? I told my wife the other day, I said, baby, do you like my singing? She said, honey, I love your preaching. I said, that's not what I asked. This lady, I mean, it sounded angelic. She just glowed with the presence of God, and she was singing, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty. And man, as she's singing, there's this orchestra behind her. There's some violins and some cellos, and man, it was, you just sensed the presence of God. And as they're singing that, the song is building, and then all of a sudden behind them, a curtain comes up, and here's the Hillsong United praise team. Just, I mean, electric guitars, and man, the drums, and man, there's like smoke, and man, all these lights, and ooh, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. You ever got cold chills in church? Oh man, and then behind them, after they're playing and they're singing, behind them a curtain falls and there's a 200-piece choir. All these vocals and man, the band and the orchestra and this angel singing, and I'm thinking, man, can it get any better? And sure enough, pyrotex, explosions, fire, and then confetti. Have you ever worshiped God in confetti? It started falling from the ceiling, and I'm swimming through the confetti, and I'm like, man, Jesus is here in Sydney, Australia. It was epic. It marked my life. But you know what? If you fast forward about 2 or 3 years later, I was on a mission field, was in the mountains of Honduras, in one of the most remote parts of the world I'd ever seen or experienced. We drove for hours up the mountain till we couldn't drive anymore. We got out of the vehicle and we had to walk about 2 miles through sewage about 2.5-3 inches deep. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. I'm never even gonna find the ends of the earth. You know, the Bible talks about the ends of the earth. They're in Honduras. We make it to this little village in this makeshift hut. And there were 3 Honduran families huddled around one tiny lantern, no electricity, and a guy with an acoustic guitar. And you know what he was playing? Hallelujah. The very song that I had heard with 60,000 people in Sydney, Australia. And you know what I thought that night in Honduras? I thought, Jesus is here just like he was in Sydney, Australia. You see, it doesn't matter whether you have 60,000 people or whether there's just 6. Worship is about the presence of Jesus. And we come here on a Sunday, and it's not to be impressed or to be entertained. And thank God for all the technology that we have. But I promise you this, worship is not about performance. It's not even about preference. It's about his presence. You know, and I grew up in the church my whole life, okay? I mean, I from my earliest memories, my dad was the choir director and the worship leader at our small country church. And so I've seen how worship has evolved over the years. I remember as a kid growing up, you were considered to be really, really, really holy and moved by the Spirit if you did this right here. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. How many remembers that? Anybody remembers that move? Oh yeah. And we offer up to you. Hey, hey, hey. Man, you were really experiencing revival if you did the kick, you know? But then when we got away from the kick in the 80s and in the 90s, we started doing like this right here. Now you got this next generation that's jumping, you know? Man, they're really feeling it. They're starting to jump. And some, we got some people at my church, when they get excited, they do the Heisman. And I'm into it, man. I'm like, hey, go for it. We had a lady in our church back in the day, we called her Sister Spin, because when the Holy Ghost hit her, woo! Boy, that helicopter, that propeller, boy, you better look out. Man, I'm out of breath. Is it the altitude? You know, New Orleans is 8 feet below sea level, all right? Need some oxygen. You say, well, Mike, I'm not into all that. I'm not into all that emotion. I don't do all of the antics. And that's fine. You don't have to. I mean, if you want to, you can tap your big toe inside your shoe and nobody will know but you and God. That's fine. But listen, worship is not about a style or a dance move or a light or a presentation. Worship has to be about the presence of Jesus. And when you recognize his presence, you surrender to that wherever you are. Are you with me? Come on, are you guys into this? Can you inform your face that you're into this? Okay, good. You know, sometimes we can get really casual in the presence of God. We almost kind of take it for granted. You know, there's a danger in familiarity. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, the more familiar you become with something, then you begin to treat it a little differently. You know, I drive a Honda Accord, okay? It's a 2008. It's got 170,000 miles on her, and the best thing about her, she is paid for. Come on, somebody say, thank you, Lord. I mean, I think it's the dirt that's holding her together. I don't even wash her because I think she may just fall apart and I'll be left with nothing but a steering wheel. But I remember when I bought her brand new, got her brand new, I would go to Walmart and I would park in the back of the parking lot and take up two spaces. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Don't get near me, watch the perimeter. We got to protect the Honda. God is in the Honda. Come on, we're all in one accord. But now, 11 years and 170,000 miles later, I pull up into Walmart, I'm not parking in the back. I see a little spot, I'm thinking, yeah, I think I can slide right in there. Why? Because something has changed with familiarity. And it's true not just for possessions, sometimes it's true for people. How many married couples do we have in the house? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Somebody said that single people are sad and married people are mad. Do you know, dating brings out the best in you, but marriage brings out the rest of you. Right? Remember, hey, fellas, remember you first started dating her? Wow, you're gonna open the door. Man, you're gonna brush your teeth. Come on, somebody. You're gonna make sure every detail is put together. I talked to a guy the other day, I had a couple in my office. I was counseling after 40 years of marriage. She's not feeling the love and he can't understand why. And so he told me this, he said, Pastor, when we got married 40 years ago, I told her I loved her and that if I ever changed my mind, I'd let her know. How many know that's a bad idea? That's a marriage headed for destruction. Familiarity changes some things. Sometimes we become so familiar with the house of God that we're no longer wowed. We don't walk in with an expectation of, I'm gonna meet God today. Lord, I'm gonna give you my best today. I'm gonna stand in the presence of an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sufficient God. And we lose our wow. You see, worship, it can't be about preference. It can't be about performance. It has to be about his presence. I believe God can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in 5 lifetimes. Are you with me? Number one, presence. Number two, perspective. Somebody say perspective. Perspective. You see, during worship, I'm reminded of who God is and who I am. When you stand in the presence of the Lord and you turn your thoughts toward him, it gives you great perspective. It sets into focus the things that really matter. Some of you are worrying about things at your job and you need to get fresh perspective of who God is. Because when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, remember that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, what? Yes, what you think is so big and such an impossibility, when you begin to recognize his presence, all of a sudden now it puts that problem into perspective. Let me ask you this, how big is your God? You see, when I worship God, then my perspective of God changes. God begins to grow. The psalmist said, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know what the word magnify means? It means to make larger than anything else. Sometimes we're meditating and focusing on our problems and God's saying, shift your focus from your problem to my presence. And that will give you the perspective that you need. See, my daughters, when they were really small, we used to play a game. And I would go up to them and I would ask them, baby girls, listen to me. Who's the smartest, strongest, wildest, most handsome, most attractive man on the planet. And then they would wait a few minutes as if they were considering, and then they would finally say, Santa Claus. And then they would scream with laughter like they had just said the funniest thing in the world. And they knew that I was trying to get them to say, Daddy, of course it's Daddy. Who else would it be? The strongest, smartest, most athletic, most handsome guy. Of course it's your, but they would never say Dad. They would, and then as they grew older, they would say, well, it's Big Bird, or it's Brad Pitt, or it's one of Mama's ex-boyfriends. Come on, how many know? Game over. Is God narcissistic? Is God insecure? Did he wake up this morning and say, you know what? I really need millions and millions of people to tell me how awesome I am. How many of you know worship is not for God's benefit, it's for yours? You see, something happens inside of us. And again, this is not just for Sunday morning. This is for every day. You know, getting perspective. Recently, my wife and I, we traveled out of town visiting family over the holidays. And so while we were visiting family, we went to their church. And as a pastor, sometimes I walk into a church service and I'm just kind of casing the place, and I'm calculating, I'm studying, and I'm comparing. And so here we are in this church with my family. I've never been there before. I sit in the back, and I'm just, worship has already happened, and I'm just checking things out. And I'm noticing how their worship experience isn't as good as our worship experience. And I noticed that the talent level is a little different, and the skill set on stage, and oh, that was a bad transition, and man, the lights are not really good, and man, our team is so much better. And this conversation is happening in my head. Y'all ever talk to yourself? Am I the only one hearing voices in my head? And I, about that time, I leaned over to my wife, and I was getting ready to say something critical. And I leaned over, and as I leaned down to whisper to her, you know what I saw? She was standing there with her hands raised, tears coming down her cheek. And you know what I felt in my heart? Conviction. Has God ever slapped anybody in the face? I knew I needed to repent. She was in far better condition than me. You know why? Because when you spectate, it's easy to get critical. When you're not engaged in the moment and you're just kind of checking things out, well, you know what? I just didn't care for worship today. They didn't sing my song today. I didn't care for that guest pastor from Baton Rouge. Driving away and, you know, leaving church, criticizing the worship service. Hey, when was worship about us anyway? Right? I mean, worship was about his presence, but then worship gives us perspective about our situation. Let me tell you this, if you complain, you'll remain. But if you praise, you'll be raised. Come on, hum at me. Okay, number three, let's hustle. Number three, problems. Write down the word problems. Everybody say problems. Who's got a problem? Who's sitting next to a problem? No, don't raise your hand. No. Can I tell you this? This is why this is so important. I think there is no better time to worship God than right in the middle of a problem. You say, Mike, that's the hardest time to worship God. Yes, but I think the tipping point to victory, if you're in a problem, you worship God in the midst of that and watch what happens in your life. You know, throughout the Bible, you see this in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. When the nation of Israel would go to war, oftentimes God would tell the leaders, send the tribe of Judah onto the battlefield first, right? Nod your head if you remember that. Why is that significant? You know, the Hebrew word for Judah is praise. What was God trying to teach his people? You send praise into that problem first. And many times as they begin to worship God, God would bring confusion into the enemy's camp. Can I have a better amen? Consider Job. I know that all of us have had bad days, but nobody in here has had a worse day than Job. Lost his kids, lost his health, lost his wealth. I mean, his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? What was Job's response to the worst day in his life? Job 1:22, he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, you know what? Worship in the midst of problems is not easy.
But I want to tell you this, when you worship God in the midst of your problems, there is kingdom possibility that comes out of that. You remember in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were arrested and they were put into prison. In fact, the scripture says they were put into the inner dungeon and they were shackled with chains. The Bible says around midnight, somebody say midnight, the very darkest part of the night, the scripture says they begin to sing and worship God. And what happened as they were worshiping God? That place began to shake. And the scripture says that the chains fell off of not just Paul and Silas, but every prisoner in that place. I want to tell you this, worship doesn't just impact you, it affects everybody around you. And the prison doors flew open. Why did the doors fly open? They weren't trying to break out. God was trying to break in. Come on, somebody. Why is that? Why is God trying to get in there? Because the scripture says in Psalm 22, verse 3, that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Yet you are holy, enthroned around the praises of Israel. Consider this. When you offer praise to God, it's creating space for God to come and dwell inside. The word inhabit means to come and dwell inside of. That's why I would say this. If you're going through a problem or facing an impossibility, regardless of what you see, or regardless of how you feel, or whatever your circumstances may be telling you, create space to worship God. Because when your praise goes up, God's presence will come and dwell inside. Are you with me? You see, here's the interesting part about that story with Paul and Silas. They praised God before they saw the miracle. Some of you won't see the supernatural until you praise him in advance. You see, it's easy to thank God after the supernatural. Praising him before you see the miracle, that's gratitude. I mean, praising him after you see the miracle, that's gratitude. But praising him before, that's faith. And so the problems that we face and walk through and experience, that is a perfect opportunity to say, Lord, I don't see, I don't feel, I don't even understand, but God, I trust you. Lord, you are good. Come on, worship is warfare. Yeah. Worship is warfare. And I tell you what, this is how I fight my battles. Yeah. I don't, not by strength, not by my own power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. Some of you need to lock yourself away. Put on some good worship music. How many of you in your car, you listen to some good worship music? Does that help keep you sane as you're driving the crazy roads of Colorado Springs? Oh man, some of you'd come to church in a better mood if you just listened to a little worship on the way. It'd help you get to work on time and full of some power. If you'll lock yourself away, turn on some good worship music and pour your heart out unto God, watch what God does. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I'll say this, you may be one praise away from a breakthrough. You may just be one praise away. Somebody say presence. Say perspective. And then say problems. Now look at this, number four, I need to hurry, I need to hustle, hustle, hustle. Say passion. Passion, giving God everything we have, giving God everything. Scripture tells us in Matthew 22, 37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Let me ask you this, if this was the final opportunity that we had to praise God on this earth, can you say that you gave him everything? I want to live full, but I want to die empty. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, well, you had that stored up, and man, you had great potential, and man, I sure could have used that. I want to get to heaven and hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. You used everything that I have given to you, and now enter into my rest. Come on, passion. We've got to be passionate people. I want to give you a quick pop quiz, all right? Give me the first answer that comes to your mind, okay? Don't think about it, but I want you to hear me and give me the first, say it out loud, the first thing that comes to your mind. A comedian is a person who tells a funny joke, okay? A tree that grows from an acorn is called an... Some of you weren't sure about that. Let me say that again. A comedian is a person who tells a funny... The tree that grows from an acorn is called an... Yeah, not an acorn tree, but it's an oak, okay?
All right, now check this. The vapor that rises from fire is called? The sound a frog makes is called a? The white of an egg is called the? The white.
Turn to your neighbor and say, he got you. It was a setup, okay? I tricked you. I duped you into just kind of rolling with it. But do you see, watch this. Do you see how sometimes we can just roll up into church on Sunday? And man, hey, we've done this before. We've sang this before. We've declared this before. And so you kind of detach your mind is a million miles away. It's mindless and it's meaningless. And God says, no, stay fully engaged. Come on, we call it worship, but some people might be lying because what we said in here today, God's gonna require us to walk in that tomorrow. We said, Lord, I trust you. I give you everything. Don't go into work tomorrow worrying. Fear is a spirit and God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Let's be fully engaged in our worship. Then let me give you this final thought and then I wanna pray for you. Has this been helpful today? Okay, I'll ask the band to come up on this last thought. Okay, we talked about worship and we said that worship, it's about the presence of God. It's about perspective. It's about problems, but it requires passion. And finally, I want to leave you with this final thought. Number five, power. Power, power, power. How many of you here today say, Mike, I could use a little more power in my life? Let me tell you this. If we can raise the level of our worship, I think we can walk in a greater power. There's an anointing that's available to the people of God when they're concerned about his presence, when they adjust their perspective, when they invite God into their problems, and when they're fully engaged, all in, passionate, God giving it all to you. You know what's available to us? There is an untapped power that's available to you and me that I think only worship can yield. I remember the battle of Jericho in the book of Joshua. I thought about that because 2 years ago, I took a trip to Israel, was baptized in the Jordan River. And then we stood on the banks of the Jordan River and we looked in the distance and we saw Jericho. And it reminded me of this story in scripture. And you know how the Bible says that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it was Joshua that brought them into the promised land. Once they had crossed the Jordan River, they had stepped into the land that God had promised. But guess what? Even in the promise, there were still battles to fight. And some of you are believing God for a promise. Some of you have stepped into a new season. And you're thinking, man, why is it so hard? Because there's still a Jericho in front of you. And that city, the scripture describes that city as being a city that was basically impossible to penetrate. They had walls that were so high and so thick. And God gave some instruction to Joshua. He said, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant. Come on, it's God's presence. I want you to start with the Ark of the Covenant. You get the priest around that Ark. And then you get the people lined up behind them. And I want you to march around this city. Day one, they marched around the city of Jericho, didn't say a word. It kind of sounds like a strange battle plan, does it not? If we're gonna conquer a city, why don't we do something other than just take a walk? Day one, they marched around the city, nothing happened. Day two, God said, do the same thing. Day three, do it again. Day four, same thing. Now listen, if I'm a part of that, by day four, I'm getting a little discouraged. Come on now, Joshua, insanity is doing the same things and expecting different results. Surely you got a better plan. Nope. Come on, we marching. Day five, here we go. Day six, they're circling the city six times in 6 days. And finally, on the seventh day, God said this, here's what I want you to do. You tell those priests to take the trumpet and set it to their lips. Blow that shofar and the people, they shout a victory praise unto God. See, some of you, you feel just like the children of Israel those 6 days. You feel like your life is going in circles. Well,
Mike, I've been doing this. I've been declaring this. I've been praying, and I don't see anything happening. And here I go. I'm circling around this same mountain again and again and again. Some of you have even said that, even recently. You've told a friend, I feel like I'm doing the same things, and I don't know what else to do. I've exhausted everything I know to do. I feel like I'm going crazy. Listen, you're not going in circles. You're marching around your Jericho. This is a test of your perseverance. And God says, if you'll just trust me, come on, keep stepping. Now, here's what I want you to do. While you're stepping, I want you to offer up a sacrifice of praise to me. And here's what's amazing. When they shouted unto God, their praise went up and God's power came down. That's the beautiful exchange when we worship the Lord. We offer him our surrender, and he deposits in us a grace and a strength that we never had on our own. Can I have a better amen? And so they blew the trumpets, and those walls came crashing down. All of a sudden now, the impossible became possible. All because people who were committed to praise God. Now let me ask you this question. What impossibility are you facing today? What circles do you feel like you're making? Some of you are here this morning and you need a breakthrough in your life. You don't know how it's gonna happen. You've been waiting and praying and trusting God. God's saying, if you'll praise me in advance, your worship goes up, my power comes down. Amen, do you receive that today?